Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is May 5th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm, spent an odd day. You know, I got called courtesy on a popular golf media outlet. They used some of my photos, and nobody's ever called me courtesy before. That was all that was there. Then I was called an asshole on Twitter, which that's like a daily thing. So,
well, everybody's an asshole on Twitter, one way or another. Everybody hates everybody. There's always something you're doing to upset people. Everybody's a contrarian. Somebody responded to a tweet of mine from Masters Week saying, like, you couldn't word a tweet more poorly, even if you tried. It was just like, it was about Bryson playing golf, disc golf. It's like, how did you find this tweet from 4 weeks ago? It's just popping me, getting in my grill. What is this all about? Anyways, what's the popular golf? I mean, are you not going to name them? I don't
know. Golf.com. They're common pirates. Sail the high seas.
Come on.
Roving around looking for photos to hijack for their website.
Pirate might be going too far. All right, well, courtesy. I'm gonna continue to call you Andy. How we doing? I refuse to start calling you courtesy. But it was an odd day. I'm happy we're not doing this on the 4th. So I could say don't have to do that dumbass May the 4th be with you stuff that just permeates every part of our life now on this day. Just out of control.
What do you think about back-to-back? I'm a big Cinco de Mayo fan.
Yeah, well,
May the 4th has infiltrated into Cinco de Mayo. Like, it dampens the anticipation for Cinco de Mayo.
I mean, it's become a little... I mean, I gotta be honest with you. My same St. Patrick's Day take, I probably had towards Cinco de Mayo. It's been co-opted by these dopes. You got some guy named Todd walking down the street in sombrero, 10 margaritas too deep, acting like an idiot. Like, I think it's been a little co-opted, and every brand, every restaurant's trying to, like, crowbar their way into this celebration with, some Irish pub trying to make tacos or something like that. I think it's gotten a little too over, it's out over its skis at this point.
Well, I'm excited to move Taco Tuesday to Wednesday. And it's a good pod free night, which means I can have a margarita or two.
Like, that's a good point.
And I actually, you know what I have? I got the bottle of tequila that you got me when we had our baby, unopened, just been staring back at me for over half a year now.
Not
and I've been wanting to dig into it. And guess what? Cinco de Mayo is the time. I'm really excited for Cinco de Mayo.
Tequila is one of those things you always have at the bar, but it doesn't seem to go real quick. I mean, maybe it does in some houses, not mine. Like the vodka, the bourbon, that moves. Tequila's always there, but that's one that kind of just lingers around. You know, maybe it's different in other people's houses. So.
I'm ecstatic. I just can't wait for a margarita.
All right, fantastic. All right, where should we start? Should we start with the Super Golf?
Yes, big news. The
Super League?
Former PGL, former Premier Golf League, has rebranded.
Already.
It's always good to get an early rebrand in, especially one that ties it to the failed Super League of soccer. Of
what are we doing here? We're walking right into the buzzsaw that just got nuked off the face of the earth. That lasted 24 hours. Why are we going for that?
I want to know who thought this was a good idea. Was the decision made before the Super League of football got, blown up and became the laughingstock of the internet?
I mean,
or was it after? Or was it like, that Super League everybody's talking about? Not for good reasons, but, we should be the Super Golf League.
Right.
It sounds ridiculous. The Super Golf League?
We should maybe, they should probably get right up in the tourist kitchen. I mean, I suspect we may be going for another rebrand. And get up in their kitchen. Use one of their phrases, like ultimate prize golf. You know, the gold standard golf league. Just like start getting in their kitchen with it. Just really come after them. I think we'll probably move on from super. It'll be ultimate. It'll be, you know, world golf. I think they should
go back to the Premier Golf League. That was a perfect name for it. Because then everybody associates it with the Premier League of Soccer.
I guess. Yeah. All right, let's do this. So this just, you know, we'd heard, you know, there were rumblings like this isn't going away. Of course, there have been rumblings forever about that. It's still out there. These guys have the money in the bank. Who's involved now? Who's not involved? But it all kind of came flooding out in several outlets today. I'm going to attempt to synthesize because they all had little slight different nuggets. General same story, but everybody had some great reporting. Multiple facets had great reporting, including your friends at golf.com. What's that?
Can I make a comment that I thought of today? I've been thinking about it all week. Kevin Clark, he was on Ryan Russillo's pod talking about, you know, the NFL and everything that's happened. And he talks about how Aaron Rodgers, he felt like Aaron Rodgers was just looking at his notes app on his iPhone. Uh-huh. And like every note he would just pass to a different journalist. It would be like, I hate everybody at the Packers organization. And he gives it to one person. He gives the next one. I felt like the PGL was doing the same thing today. They've been laying in wait for over a year and a half since the pandemic hit, have been just silent, and they're just going down their notes app. They're like, all right, we'll give this one to Golf Week. Yeah. We'll give this one to Golf Digest. We'll give this one to The Guardian. We'll give this one. So go on.
I'm generally not in the business of like trying to guess sources or name it out loud. I think it can kind of get bogus, but like this was obviously very mostly coming from the PGL side, maybe an agent or two, but this, and we're not going like that had to be so-and-so player talking to so-and-so reporter. It's more of a faceless deal here. All right, let's synthesize it. You can jump in, interject if something, you know, tickles your funny bone or sends you off the handle, whatever you want to do. Jump in whenever you see. All right. So the Telegraph, James Corrigan and Ewan Murray from The Guardian were in early on this from across the pond.
Real quick, for anybody that doesn't know what the PGL is, I think just in case anybody doesn't know.
Hit it in the notes, but go ahead.
In case, it's this upstart golf league that's trying to basically upend the PGA Tour and take all of its best players and start a new league is the whole idea, with more prize money, less players, less tournaments, but bigger, making a bigger deal of the tournaments, really. And
who do you think our audience is?
I wanted to make sure that in case.
What do you think this is the people who watched when they would do like First Take before the Fox had the U.S. Open and it was Skip and Shannon shouting at each other? Like, is that who you think listening to this? Everybody that listens to this is a, you know, golf nut.
I just wanted a little table setter there.
All right,
okay.
There you go. I appreciate that. All right, Telegraph, James Corrigan and Ewan Murray in The Guardian from across the pond had it early, and several others quickly followed on this side of the pond. Details from James Corrigan. Monahan was flying to Charlotte Tuesday. We'll follow up with details of that meeting. According to Daniel Rappaport, who had reported in Golf Digest, this was a meeting that was already set over a week ago. It's usually the one that takes place at Farmers, but that was not able to be held because of COVID restrictions in California. Allegedly, this was set a week ago. It's one of a few mandatory meetings where he flies out. I don't know.
Blunt Force One was in the air.
I wonder if it's like a FedEx plane. Just one of those and they just hop in. Jay rolls out. We'll get into the subject of the meeting. There were some nuggets out of that. So he flies to Charlotte. That's from James Corrigan. He revealed that 30 million formal offers were received by multiple major winners Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka. The Saudis are not taking no for an answer and have indicated they are intending to start their circuit in September 2022. That was the time frame that also Ewan said. It is thought the contracts offer a dozen big names, a selected $30 million sweetener up front, so like $30 million right away, and half a share in their teams. And this is now more the nuts and bolts. The team leaders would be joined by three other players, and the prize money what would be, in the words of one insider, astronomical prize money. The Saudi team of negotiators, and this was a revelation to me, which apparently no longer includes the Rain Group, have camped in Jupiter, South Florida, where many of golf's heavyweights reside. So they're swamp creatures. They're probably down there when you were there. You're rubbing elbows with the whoever at the Square Grouper. And the Saudis believe, this is again from Corrigan, the tour can't expel members, and it could end up in a big legal fight. So this
is something I wanted to talk about. So the tour's whole threat is if you sign up with the PGL, you're out. You can't play on the PGA Tour anymore, or the Super Golf League.
Super League Golf is SLG was what Josh Sens had it as. Slug. Super League Golf.
So anyway, so if you Slug. So this is where I've been thinking about this all day. So you're gonna tell me that if Brooks Koepka, Phil, let's just say DJ, sign on the PGL, and they say, "Hey, we want to come play the Memorial," and the tour is gonna be like, "No, you can't play." Do you think Nationwide, their title sponsor, is gonna be like, "What the fuck? We want them here"? Like, the sponsor, they aren't gonna be able to do it because of the sponsors of the tournaments. Imagine if Tiger signed on to play the PGL. I'm not saying he's going to, but imagine Tiger signs on and he's like, "You know what? I want to come back and play Bay Hill." Is MasterCard gonna be happy if the tour says, "No, you can't play"? Like, they're gonna be in this position that is they're screwed. But beyond just the legal thing, which I talked to a lawyer today. There's not sure. I've been working the phones. Who's not sure really if that's something they can do.
Yeah. That. So it seems like the Super Golf League could. We're now getting out of the synthesis into the analysis real quick. The Super Golf League could have a couple things that might put the tour over a barrel. And again, this is our very, very rudimentary understanding of antitrust, of nonprofit law, things like, and it involves, those are maybe some moves they could make, whether it's like, so you're going to tell me some guy in your independent contractor league, of course the tour has, like, you sign on to agreements mm-hmm. when you join the tour, there are certain constraints. But I think if they get someone to kind of muck around and poke a little finger in the nonprofit stuff, start to, like, that's a house of cards that could come down real quickly. And especially also, like, are they independent contractors or are they not? Is it like, if the guy wins on the PGA Tour and is a part, has your card and is a lifetime member and all this stuff, and he goes and wants to play like 10 events in some other league for a while, I don't know. It could get tricky. So another thing while we're on this analysis, I was a little surprised to hear the Rain Group had dropped out. And it's now even more of a Saudi influence because last I heard, admittedly, I kind of lost interest, or not interest, but track of all the rumors behind the scenes with this. The last we heard that the Rain Group and others were trying to dilute the Saudi influence because it was toxic. It was so toxic this time last year. And that, like, in order to really get this thing off the ground, which they've been obviously putting a bunch of effort into for a decade now, and like they were like, "Hey, if the Saudi thing's going to hold it up, we got to like figure out how to dilute it." And now it appears to have swung quite significantly the other way, where Rain Group's out, and it's like all an entire Saudi operation at this point.
Maybe it's because the players are really excited about the Saudi future Saudi golf travel options.
Yeah. Look into those. Jack's building the course there. It'll appear on rankings list, I'm sure, and so to much great angst and uproar soon. Hey, while we're on the subject of sponsors deal, the whole Bay Hill, Nationwide, things like that, one interesting nugget I saw, I think this was Daniel Rappaport, who talked to some agents and players, this is Golf Digest, that an agent pointed out, and I never noticed this, one agent who agreed to speak anonymously pointed out that while players who join the PGL may enjoy a lucrative initial payday, they'd risk losing long-term sponsorship dollars from companies who do not want to associate with Saudi-financed venture. Quote from this anonymous agent, "Go look at the pictures of Dustin Johnson holding the trophy in Saudi Arabia. See if you can find the RBC logo there on his sleeve. He's correct. Johnson did not have the RBC logo in its normal spot, but he did have it in his starts immediately before on the PGA Tour and after in Riviera.
Interesting.
But that was interesting. RBC, like, hey, if you're going to play Saudi Arabia, get our logo off your shirt.
Here's the thing, though. RBC is not paying Dustin Johnson $30 million.
No, I understand. I mean, there's going to be a balance there. Like, you want some, like, 3-year agreement with a bank or a equipment company or whatever it is versus some giant lump sum and amazing prize money in, like, no missed cut events.
I mean, so. $30 million, you just put it into a bank, you make a couple million dollars a year.
Sure.
You know, like, put it in some very safe investment, you're making a few million dollars a year. That's the thing with the $30 million. The other aspect that, like, people can't sleep on is the half share of your franchise.
Yeah.
You own half a franchise. And it's like, obviously, this is soccer's way different, or yeah, football. But like a middle of the road Premier League franchise is worth $1 billion. The golf is nowhere near that value, but you start to do the, like, say one of these franchises in the Premier Golf League is worth $200 million and you own half of it. That's pretty good.
Yep. Yep. But again, setting, like, yeah, you can't look at it in the vacuum of this cold business. Mm-hmm. Assessment because of where the money's coming from. And
yes,
what is your balance? How does that affect you? Where do you, like, you know, is that make it too toxic for you? Is the backlash going to be so strong that you don't want to live with that? Is there, you know, so that's another thing we'll get into in a second. All right, Ewan Murray, just, he broke it that it now remarkably might include the word super, which just made me laugh. He added again, Majed Al Sarour, the chief executive of Golf Saudi, is now fronting the operation. Maybe he's one of several down in the swamp. Greg Norman is believed to be among those advising the Saudis. The shark swimming around out there.
Yeah, maybe shallow in the waters.
Shark experience at every match. You'll be riding around on carts doing the shark experience. This is another bit from Ewan. Several high-profile European players, aware of this issue, this Ryder Cup issue, because the strategic alliance. Now the tour is saying, you're boom, you're gone, you're out, you're probably not eligible for the Ryder Cup, have said to Ewan, or, you know, Ewan has reported it out, have privately made it known they have no interest in changing their competitive domain where they play right now because of this potential Ryder Cup impact. And James Corrigan, obviously they're reporting from the European side, had similar sentences, just, hey, this could dramatically impact your ability to play for Presidents' Cup, was also referenced, but Ryder Cup, more importantly, for the Europeans, which, of course, pays them, you know, pays them stipends to buy nice tuxes and ball, you know, gowns for the events and travel and stuff like that, but doesn't pay them, actually, like a competitive event.
That's, I think, where the one hurdle they have is the Ryder Cup and the four majors.
Okay.
And just making sure that, like, they have other hurdles. They have the moral hurdle,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
Like, putting that aside, you know, one of the big hurdles is definitely, and I don't see a world where Augusta, because they might have past champions that are in this, like, they aren't going to bar, right?
I think, yeah. So, of course, major championships, Augusta, like, if you win on the PGA Tour, you get an exemption, right? If, similar to the other majors, and some form or fashion. But I think, like, Augusta, like, they're, I mean, it's their tournament. That's their ultimate priority. Of course they have other priorities and they want to, you know, grow the game, and they'll create a program at Payne College, and they have, like, certain, they have all sorts of different priorities, but they're looking after the Masters tournament first and foremost, and they don't want that to be lessened, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to, like, well, Jay, man, you know, I love you. I love the moat and all the meeting rooms you got there. And we want to stay loyal. Like, we're not taking DJ because of that. Like, I think, like, their tournament is their first priority. And while they may disagree with a player in their tournament joining some other league, I don't know. It's a potential obstacle to this Super League. But I think when push came to shove, they would want to.
I think all the majors would be that way.
Right.
Like, right. You're not all of a sudden going to be like, oh, DJ or Brooks is Brooks isn't on the tour anymore. He's in the PGL. We're not having him at our majors. Like, no, that.
Right, right. Your first priority is your tournament.
Yeah,
and,
getting the best players in the world to your tournament.
Right, or championship, whatever it may be. The Ryder Cup thing is a different. That depends on
how high you hold the
esteem of the Ryder Cup. And those Europeans, as we know, because they've been, it's part of the reason why they kick our ass, the U.S. ass, every time. That, I don't know. It matters to them, even though that's not a massive payday relative to other events. All right, let's continue with some details from the day. Golf.com then came out after these reports from across the pond. Josh Sens was the byline. Super League Golf, which was the first time I ever saw that, SLG, previously known as Premier Golf League, drawn up plans for 5 glittery events in 2022. So a little more details. We'd heard September 2022. Apparently this would be like the big unveiling, 5 in the fall, each of which would feature 16 players grouped into 4-man teams drafted by the team captain. You know, there'd be individual team formats. and some of whom, Sen said that there'd be a $20 million payment up front. Now here he gets into specifics on players that he'd had from sources. Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Spieth, and Hideki Matsuyama were a part of those sent offer letters or about to be offered. Johnson, his source said, had already agreed in principle to captain one of the teams, though his agent dismissed that assertion. Agreed in principle is, you know, always allows for a lot of interpretation and potential wiggle room, in my opinion. But that's kind of taking it to another panic level if you're a PGA Tour, you know, advocate or stakeholder, seeing that Dustin Johnson allegedly already agreed in principle.
I mean, and what did Dustin say? Was it like a press conference?
Sure. Sounds good. Hey, I could do that.
Like, that's the thing here. Who knows what he said? Of all the players, like, if it was Spieth or Brooks or something, I'd be like, okay. But if it's DJ, it's like, you know, he probably just was like, oh, yes.
But
Can I get off this call now?
We can't. And speaking of Jupiter, some guy walks over to his house, like, oh, yeah, all right. Did he just agree in principle? Yeah, he did agree. You know, he's like just hanging out by his boat, and maybe he did. DJ sort of gets a pass because he's this lumbering, chill, some people say idiot, but he's just sort of a deadpan and minimalist when it comes to speaking. But, like, he does seem like a. What's great about him is he doesn't talk shit about it. He doesn't get entangled in any kind of drama or controversy. Yeah. Apparently has no negative energy towards any of his fellow pros. But, like, you know, his moral turpitude, maybe, you know, not first and foremost with DJ. And, like, he's, because of that brand and that identity of just being this harmless, lumbering guy, he's sort of gotten a pass for just also going to get the blood money while Bryson gets just pilloried and Phil gets crushed. DJ somehow kind of snaked his way out of that, catching those stray bullets. So maybe he seems to now be very one of the forerunners to potentially join. All right. Sens also added, golfs.com source said the SLG, which is what it's going by now, recently sent a letter to Jay Monahan alerting the PGA Tour commissioner of its plans. That's not some great reportage. I just wanted to add. I wish they sent it over with UPS. You know, dropped it, showed up, couriered it over via UPS. Jay, this is what we're doing, and this is who's going to be involved and how it'll work. I mean, I kind of feel bad for Monahan that this got dropped in his lap, but hey, you know, this is what the money's for, and he's got to work overtime to figure it out, I guess.
In my head, you know, this whole thing's playing out like a medieval battle, and the PGL has stormed, and they're at the drawbridge of the moat at PGA Tour HQ, and like the PGA Tour shooting arrows from, you know, up in the global home down to them. Like that's how in my head this whole thing's playing out.
Yeah. Golf Week, Steve DiMeglio had a little bit. He said offers reaching in the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million. So, like, the numbers are all over the place.
How about how somebody's, these numbers?
Yeah.
What they do to the pip? Like how insignificant they make the pip.
And I'm sorry, I can't remember where I saw it, if it was an old article, but someone suggested Phil was offered $100 million or could be offered $100 million up front. Like just went, you know, here you go. I saw it. I know I saw it. I don't remember where. This is also from DiMaggio. The money is there, one agent said, on the condition of anonymity. I heard $1 billion. This is real. The $1 billion mark's been out there since it came out last winter. Like allegedly, not $1 billion in principle. Like $1 billion, you know, in a swimming pool out back, kind of. That's ready to rock. All right, Golf Digest. A few things. Daniel Rappaport. This is now getting in the meeting with Big J. Flies up on Lupforce, as you called it. The gathering had been on the schedule allegedly. PGL was acknowledged only briefly, with Monahan saying that the PGA Tour and European Tour and the Strategic Alliance were united in their position and reiterated that any players who signed with the PGL will lose their PGA Tour membership. The legality of such a threat remains unclear, as does the position of the four major championships, none of which are owned or operated by the PGA Tour. We've sort of gone into that. The legality of saying, nope, you're not a PGA Tour member anymore because you've committed to this. This is also Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, similar notes out of the meeting. Monahan reiterated that any player who joins the circuit will face immediate suspension and likely permanent expulsion. Permanent expulsion. Has anyone ever been...
They're getting the Pete Rose treatment.
I'm trying to think. Has anybody been permanently expelled? I know there have probably been some lengthy suspensions.
Not even Mac O'Grady got permanently expelled.
That's true. Yeah, he got some beaming, some lengthy suspensions, but that's it.
I brought Mac O'Grady up to an old player a few months ago, and I was like, what did you think of Mac O'Grady? And he goes, what a fucking idiot. That guy was a total moron.
That's great. I think that covers it from all the... Oh, let's get into some player reaction. This is anonymous to Daniel Rappaport. One top 100 player assessed the chances rather bluntly. There's no chance anyone has the balls to go over. Absolutely no chance. Anyone. DJ, I think, you know, is not... is. I don't know. Too unbothered to have courage or lack thereof. I think he's just doing what he's doing.
That's a comment from a top 100 player who likely has never had $30 million plopped in front of him.
Right. Then other quotes... This was Webb, sort of Tom Crier Jr. You know, he's out there on a lot of...
Definitely available.
He might be the backup Tom Crier.
He's the Tom Crier in training in case Billy Ho jumps ship to the PGL.
I want to read this quote in full. I think as a top player, I want to play against the best. At the end of the day, you have a career long enough. I think most of these guys, they're financially set. They want to break records. They want to win. Be like Dustin. Win 20 times, be a life member, whatever it might be. You create a new tour, all these records kind of get thrown out the window. I think, you know, we're always making up records. FedEx Cup, this, that, the other, which didn't exist 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Quote, I just think too many things like that are going to come up. I don't think throwing X amount of money at guys is as appealing as now as it maybe once was because of how the great opportunities we have on the PGA Tour. Whatever the number is, $350 million we're playing for this year, and what FedEx has done... All hail, you know, bow down to FedEx. There's so many opportunities for guys to make a great living here. Well, like, that kind of exposes a weakness. What if FedEx just says, hey, like...
And that's- also, so many guys. Like, this is the whole crux of the thing. It goes back to what we talked about, what, two episodes ago with, thanks to Josh, who put together the NBA PGA Tour comps.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The whole crux of this centers around... The guys at the bottom of the tour are drastically overpaid, and the guys at the top of the tour are drastically underpaid. And that's the whole crux of this, is that what all of a sudden this other upstart golf league is offering them the money that they probably should be paid.
Yep. End of his quote, if I'm a guy who's on my way to make history like a Dustin, or you know, a few other top guys, I'm going after, I want to go after records, not a dollar. So Webb doesn't seem to be into the PGL, or maybe he isn't like a guy like Dustin, and he can go for the dollar because he's not going for records. I don't know, but he seems to be anti Super League there with that mm-hmm. quote. But
it's interesting too, because I think one of the things I've thought about with that quote was like how revered is Arnie for starting Golf Channel? How revered is Dean Beeman for the foresight to do the tour? Like,
break away from the PGA, you know, split that old deal.
So, you know, on the flip side is these guys, if the guys that jumped and say it became a smashing hit and, you know, became elevated golf to new heights, new money, like new popularity, which I think like they're exposing a lot of issues in the product of golf and it could make it better. It might not, but, you know, these guys could also be revered for making history 30 years from now.
Yeah. My whole issue with this is they could change the formats, the players, the schedules, but like the money is always probably going to be where it's coming from. And it's mm-hmm. still coming from that same yeah. place. And what, like, I don't know. Like they chopped up a journalist because he didn't like what they were doing and put him in a bag and, you know, many other things. And a lot of other countries do very bad things where they play golf, but that's whataboutism. What we're talking about now is Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do you have any other questions? We've gone for 30 minutes on this, but we knew it was going to be long. I think like the big thing is how the Ryder Cup responds or if it can respond. I think in the Corrigan piece, so like this is really moving now based with, you know, all the swamp movements down there. And like even this Ryder Cup could be impacted by it. So the majors, the Ryder Cup is where we're going. Looks like you want to say, do you have any other thing?
There was a old thread like from a year ago that with John Ezekwitz, Shackelford, mm-hmm. and Ken Hideki Win that I rediscovered today. And I'd forgotten about it. But, you know, Ezekwitz, chief data officer of the Shotgun Start, had looked at the percentage payouts of the tour. The tour pays out 40% of its, you know, revenue, which is drastically lower than at all other major sports leagues. You know, one reason might be the Champions Tour, which is $55 million in prize purses. The Golden Parachute. These are part of the reasons why this is possible, is that this system, like, nobody cares about the Champions Tour. It's completely unnecessary. It used to be, like, a way for, like, a retirement, a golden parachute for these guys. And all the big-name players played it because they didn't make the yeah. sums of money. Now it's becoming more and more irrelevant yeah. with every passing year. This is an opportunity right there for $55 million to put in the pot. Shut it down.
You want no more Dump in a Box Classic?
I think that at this point, like, I don't think the Saudis are going away.
No, they're not. It
like,
seems like
it's only going to get more and more money.
If they're going to, yeah, or they'll throw a ton of money at. It talks about how they're targeting like Asian Tour, Sunshine Tour, and like maybe they're paying these guys a ton of money, and all these guys from the tour are like, why do you know? Let's go beef it up. Let's join too. Like you would have. An old school appearance fee event, right? Where like they start joining slowly, 3 million of this, that. So there's a lot of ways it could go.
Like they aren't going away. And really, I think like when you think boil this down, is it's the tour did the PIP, right? And it was like supposed to be, but now like these money numbers are coming out. Like it clearly, I don't think it necessarily worked. I think, you know, it's PIP, time for them to look at the mirror and say, like, we need to make a drastic change, probably. There has to be some sort of change, and it has to come from, you know, the top players on tour can't feel like they're underpaid, which I think that there's a contingent of the best players in the world that feel like they are drastically underpaid when they look at number 125 and say, you know what, I made, like, $5 more million than this guy, and I mean so much more to this tour than that guy.
Okay, so that's a nice segue. Is this analogous at all to the European Super League soccer part? I find it like it's not that analogous. The bit you just said about how like a lot of a concentrated group are really kind of fund and uphold the whole system is somewhat, again, I don't have a strong expertise in Premier League or European soccer for that matter.
But I think where the issue, I think if I'm a, if what people didn't like about the Super League was there's like relegations over, like there's no
way
we're
of
working
start
up,
talking
working
about
down,
yeah, you know? Subjects I don't know a ton about.
I don't know it, but like I think that was one of the big things that people were mad about. But here's the thing with this PGL. Like if I own a franchise and I got a guy like I have Ricky and he starts stinking,
yeah,
I'm cutting his ass or I'm trading him. Like that's maybe the thing. I own the franchise.
Maybe.
Like it's just
you
I
already
think
gotta go paddleboarding with them in Jupiter next week and you don't. I don't know.
I think that's what will happen with this is it will become much more like other sports because you'll have
sure
people with vested interests beyond just the players. This is what's been created is the player run organization has created this problem that is allowing the Saudis to come in and offer a different alternative product that is like, you know, when you're making decisions for the 125 rather than the, you know, 20 guys that really matter or 10 guys that really matter. I mean, that's why there's 50 events. That's why this is always sports league with no off season.
Right.
It's why this exists. It's all because of the 125. And I think that's the thing. It's what Adam Scott said at the beginning of the year. Only 10 events matter.
Right. The rest is entertainment. But this would be entertainment. I mean, this is making an entertainment product. This is, it sounds spicy, what potential guys cutting each other and then internal dissension and cutthroat, you know, backhanded tactics. It has an entertainment product.
Journalists getting bagged up.
That too. I would just say with the soccer, though, you're not going to see that outrage. Like those clubs, Manchester, Liverpool, like there's a history and origin there of like working class clubs and you've got these avaricious American owners coming in and trying to upset the, whereas I think the owners for the two, Manchester City and Chelsea, like after a while, like this is too much of a PR hit. We don't give a shit about this. Like our bottom line doesn't matter. And so the Saudis, like this is sports washing for them too. So you're just not going to see that outrage like you're talking about where Bay Hill or some golf fans on Twitter are able to sway Dustin Johnson from not taking, you know, kind of blood money. So I just don't think it's analogous to the soccer thing where forces can mobilize for a PR hit that's too hard to take. So
the content gods just dropping a present on our doorsteps this morning.
All right. This, we knew we were going to go long on that, but we figured we would go through it all. It seems to be moving in a much more serious way than last year. All right. This is this episode, this lengthy Super League discussion, Golf Super League, whatever the hell it's called, is brought to you by Beach Ratty. This is the official Beach Ratty takeover week. Supposed to be Wells Fargo. Maybe it's a takeover of Super League discussion, Walker Cup discussion, which we'll get to throughout, you know, this week and next. They are the official apparel of the Shotgun Start. They have a new promo code, Andy, for 25%
off. Oh, yeah, it's Brendan with an exclamation mark.
All caps, exclamation point, Brendan. I'd let you say that. Make sure you get that exclamation mark in there. It's 25% off everything. Everything on bdraddy.com. That's D-R-A-D-D-Y, bdraddy.com.
We might need to get them to do zero restriction in there, too. Just for Mother's Day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Last minute that's Mother's true Day gift. ZR is good stuff. They got a lot of, you know, Mrs. Friday likes a lot of their stuff. Their pullovers. Yep. She's not, you know, she's not a golfer. She still likes their stuff.
Okay. Yep. On the dratty side, we're getting into sweaty boy season, right? It's starting to get a little warmer, right? We are stocked with Dratty. We got the Russell Quarter Zip and the Shotgun Start store. We got the original Liam Pocket Polo with their Pima Combo. We also have the Dratty Sports shirt. Now they're expanding their sport line. They've got the Blair Half Zip, which I believe is an honor named after Zach Blair, friend of the program, sponsored by Beach Dratty. It's super soft, quick dry, technical French Terry knit. It's got iconic Dratty detailing, like the ribbed cuffs and bottom hem. And it also, and this is critical for me, has the classic kangaroo pouch. This is critical on all their pullovers. I'm sorry. This is a dad application. I went to the Nats game with my kids recently. Gotta say, I wore a competitor's pullover. Didn't have my pouch. I got masks. I got keys. I got phone. I got wallet. fly it out. I need the pouch. I need pockets, especially on a pullover. I can't just have my pants pockets. All their pullovers have this, including now in their very, in their sport fabric. So
the pouch is super underrated.
Yeah, absolutely essential for me.
Yeah, it's great. You can put all. One of the only issue I have is sometimes I forget where I put stuff, and then I realize it's in the pouch, and you know it takes me days to remember where it is. It's in the pouch.
I need it.
I do that with jackets too. I have stuff in all my jacket pockets that then I look around for it forever and I can't find it.
So the next Nats game, I made sure to put on a ZR vest because those pockets are just as essential as anything with the garment. I need the pockets. And then of course they have the dratty sport polos, which are like it took them like they were very deliberate. They didn't want to be some more just BS kind of performance fabric, but this was they spent years researching exactly the fabric, and the dratty sport polos are buttery soft lightweight performance fabric inspired by natural fibers, so
it's high quality shit.
That's good stuff. So thanks to dratty for again sponsoring us all year. They're the official apparel of the Shotgun Start and the Friday.
Use the promo code Brendan for 25% off
and get a pair of the Dick boxers while you're there too. All right, let's move on. We got to our schedule for the week here. We have the Wells Fargo Championship, Thursday to Sunday at Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte, North Carolina. Par 71, 7,500 yards, designed by Tom Fazio. Purse is $8.1 million, just excess everywhere. Just 7,500 yards, $8 million, Fazio.
Defending very champ lush place.
Is Max Homa. Notables. Homa, Rory McIlroy, JT, Thick Boy, Rahm, Xander, Cantlay, Reed, Day, Mickelson, Webb, Zalatoris, and Cameron Tringali is a notable, making his 300th career start. That's, you know, the usual Golf Channel and then CBS split on the weekend. Anything you want to say about Quail Hollow?
I got my three things.
Big boy golf course. If you hit the ball far, you generally are rewarded well off the tee. What do you got?
You
got
to hit it good, you know, just in general out there. I got three things. Major tune-up. So this is a great field this week, and it's going to be probably the only and last time that we see a lot of these guys before Kiowa in 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see what a lot of them look like. Hideki's not in the field. I don't know if he's even touched a golf club since he won the Masters.
He did commit to the Nelson, right? I think he's playing the Nelson.
Okay, so yeah. Who knows what he's been doing?
He may not. Yeah.
He's like on the Shane Lowry tour.
That could be.
Rory is one of those players to watch, my number two thing.
By the way, there was, when people were looking for Hideki, you know, intel and just looking for stories, there was one article going around about how much he loves Saki. Just like he loves it. So maybe he is on the Shane Lowry tour back home for the last 3 weeks. Okay. Rory, go back to Rory. What were you saying?
Rory's number two. He's one of those players that I'm going to be watching this week. It has been a rough, rough year. He's outside. He's 15th in the world. Which forever, him and Justin Rose were the two guys that were in the top 15 forever. And this year, they both fell out. So I think it's been like 10 or 11 years since he was last outside the top 14 in the world, which is absolutely nuts.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Yeah, he's got the kingdom is under assault.
Yeah,
not the kingdom, not Saudi Arabia, but the moat, the drawbridge is up. They're trying to storm the moat, scale the walls, and the Prince of Pontevedra is trying to fend it off. You never know. Where's his mind right now? Where was he in this meeting on Tuesday with Monahan?
Do you think he was standing right next to Monahan?
Like with arms crossed.
Full regalia. Like he's got like, you know, he takes Siwoo's pullover for a day and he's got the live under par on.
Has a little crown on. No, but I mean, I would hope this is a place where he can go and get right. You know, obviously he's just, record here is awesome. Fantastic. Course records, tournament records. His first tour win, of course, was here. And that was a long time ago. He's a much different player, but done well at Quail Hollow. All right.
Let's just see what Rory's up to. It's intriguing thing.
Nice check-in.
And then just number three, it's just PGL's just going to be swirling around. or Super League, whatever. I'm going to call it the PGL, just yeah, like I call forever. It the Corn Ferry
they're
for
already, yeah,
web.com absolutely. For like
the
3 years.
Nationwide, the buy.com tour, yeah.
But yeah, it's just, this is going to be the dark cloud hanging over the Wells Fargo all week. This is going to be the PGL.
When, if ever,
or the slug.
Do they acknowledge this on the broadcast? Golf Channel or CBS? I mean, you're the rights holder.
Never.
Is this even a passing reference without naming it mentioned? Probably
I think
not.
It's a fireable offense if
it's
one
like
of them brings
whole,
it up.
Like, McCord at Augusta type deal. Boom. Out of here. You're gone. I think you're right. But what do you do? If Dustin Johnson commits and then he's playing, like he's on the screen, I'm not saying this week, next week, whenever, 6 months from now. I think it's a relevant talking point.
I think but. Think about the $30 million, how much money $30 million. Like, I know these guys are worth a lot of money, but uh-huh. $30 million is 2 FedEx Cups.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's kind of nutty.
Yeah.
Just for showing up, $30
million. Yeah. Yeah. All right, continuing on with our schedule for the week, the Honda LPGA Thailand. That's your LPGA event. That's
Honda.
Honda. That's at the Pattaya Old Course, not to be confused with the St. Andrews Old Course in Siam Country Club, Thailand. Par 72.
Or the Half Moon Bay Old Course.
Sure. Par 72, 6,500 yards, designed by Lee Schmidt. The purse is $1.6 million. Amy Yang, she's won in 2017 and 2019. I think she won in 2015 as well. So this was not played last year, of course. So she's the defending champ from 2 years ago. Notables. Amy Yang, Lydia Ko, Sunhun Park, Danielle Kane, Minji Lee, Hinako Shibuno, Yalimi No, Charlie Hall, Sophia Popov, and Patty Tavatanakit. Going home, as you said.
Yeah, homecoming. That's going to be fun, probably. Fun tournament for her.
This is last call golf, 11 to 4 a.m. You know, it's kind of Wednesday into Saturday night. On the Champions Tour, it's major. Is this a major?
It's not shut down, the Regent?
What do you mean it's not shut down?
They haven't shut it down to get that prize money
to reallocate the money? The Regent's Tradition, Greystone Golf and Country Club in Hoover.
Oh, there's crazy flooding down there.
Yeah, there's been some bad weather ripping through the south. So that's Greystone, par 72, 7,200 yards, designed by Bob Kupp and Hubert Green. The purse is $2.4 million, so $800,000 more than the LPGA. Defending champ is Steve Stricker. He won by 6 in 2019. Notable, Stricker, Couples, Els, Weir, Daly, Lahner, O'Meara, Monty, Lyle, Woozy, Billy Playfair, Woody Austin, John Houston, and Michael
John
Allen.
Houston in it.
What is that? Is that like a Texas cities conglomerate? Austin and Houston? Is there anybody
Austin,
else?
Houston, Allen.
Michael Allen, Texas. Oh, hey, you didn't get that one by us that time. All right. That's just whatever. 11
what
to
was
2.
What was before Austin?
Mayfair?
Yeah.
I don't know. Playfair? I'm not sure.
Billy,
so that's
Billy,
whatever.
Texas? I bet there's a Billy, Texas out there.
Mid-afternoon and Saturday, Sunday. Ends at 5:30. That's a major, is it not? If it's Thursday through Sunday, it must be. They don't play 4 rounds on the Champions Tour usually, so... on the European Tour, we have the Canary Islands Championship Thursday through Sunday, and this is at Tenerife, Spain. Again, this is the same 1.5 million euros. Notables, Dean Burmeister going for the double, the Tenerife double, Tenerife two-step, whatever you want to call it. Garrick Higo, Mike Lorenzo Vera, Eddie Pepperell, Pep Angles, probably pronounced Anglis. Thomas Plum. Where are we going with this?
Pepperell,
Anglis, Thomas Plum. Plum is a fruit, is a food item. Nacho Elvira.
Nacho.
Benjamin Poke.
Pokey.
Like a Pokeball. Ale. A-L-E. Tosti. Sean Crocker. And your friend, Richard Bland.
Betty also. Crocker. Dick Bland.
Dick Bland.
Bland ale.
I had heard this is Like, they're not even like publicizing the field list anywhere for this. Cause like all the guys went home after the week one, and like the Sunshine Tour is, or the Challenge Tour is like, I think in South Africa, they didn't know they were even going to get to 65 guys for this. No. I've heard, yeah, they're not like really publicizing the field much for this event. This is Coffee Golf, 9 to 11 on Golf Channel, and 6:30 to do it, ends at 11 on Saturday and Sunday. Other USGA RNA Walker Cup, Saturday, Sunday at Seminole Golf Club. We'll get into that. It does not start till Saturday. We will do a lengthy segment on the Walker Cup on Friday. We'll talk Seminole.
That's the event
of
the week.
Teams. Okay, I just want to make sure we got that out there. All right. Event of the week is Walker Cup. On the Corn Ferry Tour, not on TV, the Simmons Bake Open for the Snedeker Foundation. That is at the Grove, College Grove, Tennessee. We got some intel on that.
Did you see the trophy?
Yeah, it's a guitar.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
You like that?
Good trophy. Yeah. Great trophy 2 weeks in a row.
There we go. The European Challenge Tour with the Dimension Data Pro-Am. There's some guy named Shitty Cat. So his last name is Shitty Cat. It's, you know, not spelled exactly like that, playing in that. Fan Court, which is Brandon Grace's home. So.
It's like Smelly Cat.
Sure. Sure. I'm looking, what else? Oh, they're doing like anniversaries and birthdays now in this release. Never mind. We're not going to get into all of that. Do you have a one and done pick for Wells Fargo? I hadn't even researched this or thought about it.
Zalatoris. I'm taking the non-member.
All right. The non-member. He might be a member of the Super League. Who knows?
A good guy to go after.
What if he went to the Super League without ever having a PGA Tour card?
He got paid like $40 million to go.
Could be unbelievable. I have not looked into anybody. I have not done this.
Take Rory. He needs your support in a trying time.
All right, I'll take Rory. I'll take the Prince as he fends off the assault on the castle. I'll take the Prince. All you had to do was throw his name out there. He twists my arm. I'm done. I mean,
hey, he needs somebody to root for him this week, you know?
Feature groups. Do we care? Do we want to do this? All we know is that Rookie is not involved, which is very exciting, I guess. I don't know. Rookie didn't make the cut. Stuart Sink is in there, which, you know.
I think he won the last time he played. That's why. They always do that. Unless you're Gary Woodland and you win the U.S. Open.
Sure. Sure. All right. Anything else?
News?
News. Okay. We'll do more news. Poulter. Foot on the clock or whatever. He's on the observation list by 0.5 seconds. His average went from 44.6 to 45.5, his average, according to ShotLink data. I mean, it may seem draconian or a little aggressive, but this is progress. We want objective standards. And if he's over 45, and maybe it's just half a second, it's great to see this thing exists. That people are being warned and told about where they stand on the list. And if they continue to be off the list, they're going to be observed and clocked even when they're not in position. I thought this was a fantastic revelation. Thank you, Ian Poulter, for going to complain about it on your social media channels. Any reaction? This is a good thing,
it's
right?
Great. I'd love to see it. This is a great step. Now, if we could get some public stuff about the CT test, that'd be... Great next step.
Yeah, maybe the tour's coming around. COVID, Brendan Todd Watch is COVID positive. No Todd Watch this week. That's other news. And your friend Michael Visacki got an exemption to the Charles Schwab. Chuck, he talked to Chuck himself. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Chuck himself called. Riding the wave of all the impressions last week. Chuck getting a little bit of his own attempt, and Visacki gets a exemption into the Charles Schwab Challenge next month.
All right, I love the story of Michael Visacki. This is not
a great story.
This is not any bit about Michael Visacki. This is more about the greater, you know, state of the world, social media, and what people think are like. You know, the reason Michael Visacki captivated the greater sports world was because of the authenticity of the moment. because it was this guy who had been grinding for 7 years, had never made it, and finally like overcame this giant obstacle and achieved something. It was a great moment. But like giving him a spot because of he was on camera talking to his dad, like it was a really cool moment. This is something that happens probably more often than not for a lot of these guys. Like they have, when they break through, they get on in a tour event the first time. It probably happens privately though. But like this whole idea, like you get on camera, it's caught on camera, so, but he gets another spot in. It's like that defeats the purpose. Like he earned the spot. That was why it was such a great moment. At like giving him a spot, that's not a great moment. That's just trying to recreate a moment.
But they're gonna get a little buzz from it
because are they? He's already on. Like, does anybody care?
Not the, at the
does
level
anybody
that they got
care
last week.
Really? Like, people cared because it was a genuine, authentic moment. It
You're
was
not
a great
anti-Michael
story.
Visacki.
I'm not anti-Michael Visacki.
Just the way it was framed as like this is a, you know.
Listen, Michael Visacki's like 1,000 other mini tour pros. This is not an attack on Michael Visacki. There are thousands of guys just like him.
Which is why we talk about the minor league golf tour probably more than any podcast or media outlet out there.
So, like, this is, I don't know. If you're good enough, you get there.
As far as exemptions to this event go, though, there have been worse ones. Tucker Watkins.
Way worse ones.
Drew, the, you know.
But like just this
cradle.
Idea, like I just think like it goes to like the whole family on the green after the like, are we going to see the whole family on the green all the time now after tour events? Are we going to see if I qualify from a Monday qualifier, do I need to like get a camera in front of me calling my parents crying? Like is this because like that's, you know, if that doesn't happen, Michael Visacki doesn't get another exemption.
So you're like, saying we could see some inauthentic
sort of
attempts
of
to
whole,
mimic that what Visacki was an authentic
I
moment,
just I want everybody to sit back and think like, God, that moment was so good because it was so real.
Yeah.
And now it's become like he becomes that guy and he's getting exemptions because of that. It's just that's inauthentic.
But that's how the exemption game works.
That's it, whatever.
A lot of times, right? Romo, a little bit. I don't know. I mean,
I don't have a problem with the exemption.
Yeah, you don't. That's the other thing. You're not. You're okay with him getting an exemption.
Yeah,
but like, the way it's framed as if
I get annoyed by like the way outlets cannibalize it and make it the impression is catnip and it was a great moment, but like that's what it was. That's what the story was, and the story's going to be the same thing 3 weeks later, except it's not going to have the juice that it had the week of.
Yeah, again, not against the exemption or him, but you make a good point. You're fine. And good point. All right, what else we got? Anything else?
Go find a cool story. Like it should like. Go find a Michael Visacki. Find somebody that like has missed 7 Monday qualifiers by a shot and give them a spot. Like, you don't piggyback off of a moment that happened at another tournament. Go find a cool story for your exemption. Don't just be a follower. Be a challenger.
Hey. Pretty good thinking there on the branding, on the fly there. All right. I have feature groups. Do we care? For Wells Fargo?
All right. Yeah.
No, I want to hear you say no. Do you care?
I don't really care, but I, you know, it's probably something that I tune into Thursday and Friday morning, so I'll
Max,
care that.
Homa, Rahm, Webb Simpson, JT, Victor, Patrick Cantlay, Thick Boy, Neiman, Xander, Sink, Reed, and Rory are your 4 featured groups. No Billy Ho. I mean, this matters for the PIP, for sure. I mean, it matters. This is like you're kind of designating who your guys are. Anyways. All right. I think that's it. A lot of PGL talk, some exemptions talk, some schedule for the week.
Corn Ferry Tour purse bump. That's great.
Yeah, let's do that Friday with Walker Cup. That'll be a good. We shot about the Corn Ferry Tour purse, is, you know, the kind of discrepancy quite a bit, but yeah, very good news for them.
Well, it's just, you know, it's adjusting for inflation over the last 10 years.
Sure, sure. All right, and thanks again to BeDratty for sponsoring this. Go to use promo code Brendan with an exclamation point at 25% off. All right. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Talk a lot of Walker Cup, and enjoy your Friday Juniors.